Luke chapter 23. We'll begin reading here in verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask thee to be with me, help me as I preach. Please give me your strength, your power, Lord. Please help what you've laid on my heart for this evening. Help to be a help to the folks. And a challenge to the folks, I ask. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight I want to speak on the subject of a condemned sinner's sermon. A condemned sinner's sermon. We see here in our text verse, verses 39 through 43 of the passage we read. Condemned sinner's sermon. As you know, we've seen before this, we see Jesus was betrayed by Judas. He was denied by Peter. He was falsely accused. He had a murderer chosen over him. He was spit on. He was punched. He was slapped. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails. He was made a mockery with a robe. They put the crown of thorns on him. And after all that, it still wasn't over. They led him up Mount Calvary and nailed him to a cross. And as you see, the passage we just read, the passage picks up here. And we see there's a sermon that was preached up there, but we see it wasn't by Jesus. It wasn't by one of It was by one of the thieves, a condemned sinner. We see that, like I said, in verse 39, it starts. And we're going to see this sermon, see what was said. We see, in verse 40, it says, But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? So what was the sermon? We see first, he preached the fear of God. And that fear of God, it seems like that fear of God is something that there's not much of right nowadays. Not much fear of God by God's people, much less by the world.
Right.
We see that authority has been torn down so much nowadays that the people don't even have a fear of God anymore. You say, well, why do you say that? Well, if that's not the case, then why would God's people feel so free to just do what they want? And while mocking God. They have no, it seems like that fear of God is just gone. Many times they mock God in front of their children, in front of other family members. And then turn around and wonder what, you know, where, you know, why did my children go wrong? You know, what happened to my kids? Why won't a brother or sister or brother-in-law or some other relative? Why, you know, why don't they want to hear what I got to say when all along they've been mocking the things of God with their life? I remember back when we used to have a bunch of junior church kids, and we'd bring them in, and Dad and I, we said many times, you have a better chance of reaching kids that whose parents have nothing to do with the things of God than you do to reaching young people whose parents claim to be saved and claim to love God, but yet they don't live it with their lives. They don't have that fear of God. And the thing is, we see that he preached the fear of God. And that's something that, like I said, I don't understand it. People claim that they claim to be on their way to heaven, but yet they seem to have no fear of God anymore. Apparently, they think that they choose the world and over the things of God, thinking that it's a better choice. Or I'd rather choose that and suffer whatever, maybe, you know, whatever God might do, or, you know, hopefully he'll just wink at it. But there's no fear of God. He preached the fear of God. But not only that, we see in that same verse, he preached the gravity of the condemnation. What do you say? And dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We as Christians, we know that those of us that haven't received Christ, haven't trusted him, are condemned to hell. And not only has that authority been torn down, as far as the fear of God, but you know what? In people's minds, the punishment has been softened. Mm-hmm. To the point where in their minds it's been softened so much that they're not deterred anymore. And the thing is, good night. As long as probably most of us can remember, you know, you'd always have the parents, you know, one more time you're going to get it. Yeah. One more time you're going to get it. You know, and that was years ago. And then I remember when I was in school, you started seeing, and maybe it was around before, I imagine it was to some degree, parents that, you know, their children got in trouble in school. And, you know, the parents wouldn't stand behind the authority at school. You know, the idea that for some reason they think that, you know, their kids are perfect. You know, probably that idea that their parents thinking their kids are perfect has gone down, that thinking, ever since they were locked in quarantine, you know, several months this year. They realized that their kids aren't so perfect after all.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they start not back in the school. And then it was, then nowadays is, parents, they don't back the police.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about when the police are human beings, and they make mistakes. And I think if they make mistakes, you know, they should be held accountable for it. Don't get me wrong with that. But the thing is, nowadays they can, you know, if police arrest somebody, then it's like, oh, you know what? You're just picking on them. And, you know, and they could even see him doing it. It would, the parents could see him do it, and they still would say that they were being abused or wrongly arrested. Mm-hmm. Is it any wonder then when we tell folks, you know what, if you don't get saved, you're going to spend eternity in hell, that they think, well, you know what? When I was in the cart at Walmart and Mom said, you're going to get it when you get home, and you didn't. And then when the principal said, well, you know what? You're going to get whatever because you got in trouble and your parents and their parents went and fought for you. And nothing happened then. You know, why would they think that if you say, well, you know, there's going to be judgment when you stand before God, why would they think there's going to be any there? And the sad thing is, even God's children, when they're chastened, you know, when they go out, they don't want to follow the things of God, and they go out and they do their own thing, and they're chastened. They blame God. They don't look at it as like, you know what, I've done wrong. I need to get it right. They get mad at God about it.
Yeah.
And then see, he preached the gravity of the condemnation. And the fact is, those that aren't saved will stand before God, and they will spend eternity in hell. Then we see in verse 41, he preached the sinlessness of Jesus. We say, and we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. In Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, it says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. He preached the sinlessness of Jesus. He was more than just a good man. He was the sinless, blameless Son of God.
Amen.
We've all met good men. You know, there were good men preaching this morning all over the country, all over the world. But you know what? They can't save anyone. You know, on 9/11, there were a lot of good men that ran into the buildings. They wanted to help folks. They cared about those people. They cared about saving those folks. Trying to get them out of that building. And as we know, over 300 of them died. But the fact that they died, that didn't save anyone. They were good. Many of them, they had good intentions. But they couldn't save anyone. Good men can't save your soul. But Jesus can. He preached the sinlessness of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then we see not only that, we see that he preached that salvation is in Christ alone. Verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The thief recognized Jesus as Lord, and that eternity was at stake. In Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He brings salvation in Christ alone. And we see it, like Paul there in Acts. We need to preach Christ. We need to tell folks about him. There's salvation in no other.
Yeah.
In the fact that in 2020 we'll say, we'll see what's going on in the world and in our country, and we'll say the Lord's coming back soon.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we'll acknowledge that. We'll say it and say, surely he's got to come back soon. Look around, what's going on. But as though we say that, it seems like so many Christians, they don't do anything about it. Kind of honest, people talk politics. It's like those people that talk politics, but they don't bother voting.
Right.
It's like, if it's important to you, why aren't you doing your part to go out, at least go out and vote? But as we know, this is far more important,
yes,
this area of salvation.
Yeah.
But we'll say that it's important, but then we don't bother telling anyone about it.
Mm.
We don't bother sharing it. We don't lift the finger to pass out a tract or to talk to a loved one or a neighbor or a coworker. He preached salvation is in Christ alone. Well, we need to tell folks about him also, while there's still time. But we see this the sermon from a condemned sinner. And the fact is that we need to be out. We need to tell folks about him. We need to get busy while there's still time. We hear that Israel, he got saved right at the end. But you know what? And the end is coming. You say, and I don't know when. But one of these days, he's coming back for us. And we need to be telling folks about him.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be warning them of what they're facing if they don't trust Christ. We can learn from this sermon from this condemned sinner.